lines. There's all kinds of excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
You can put it in the win column.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, this hour is underway. It is a Tuesday, January 14th. With Aaron Vickers of NHL.com, my name is Pat Steinberg. Welcome to the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock & Safe. Simplify your life with a security ecosystem. Go to CalgaryLockAndSafe.com to request a security audit and get a tailored solution. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, wherever you get your podcasts. Steinberg, Vickers, on a Tuesday. What's up, Vic?
Not much, buddy. Just very interested at how this next segment goes. I don't know if it's going to be gloves off here, if we're going to come to an understanding, or what's going to happen.
I don't know either. I'm quite curious.
I already feel like you're wrong, but let's get there and then see.
You don't even know.
I have no idea, but I feel like you're wrong. You didn't bring the toy, did you?
I sure did. It's always with me.
That wasn't an invite. I just wanted to mentally prepare.
I would have forgotten about it, but you reminded me.
Yeah, that's on me.
That's kind of a preview as to what we're about to talk about. I don't think Dustin Wolf has done much to hurt his Calder Trophy chances. That's for sure. Over the last number of weeks, he's probably at the very worst kept those Calder Trophy hopes where they have been all season. Midway through now, is there any way you can argue him being a top three Calder Trophy guy at the midway mark? And I know that midway trophy things are fickle and silly because it's only half of a season, but if they were giving out awards right now and they did it the same way they do at the end of the season, if Aaron Vickers is putting his ballot in, is Dustin Wolf a top three Calder Trophy finalist for you? Does he get one of your top three votes?
He does. So we're already off to a good start because I'm going to lay a wager that he's on yours as well. Now, is he my winner? He is not. And maybe that's where we might get into a little bit of a disagreement. But if I were shaping my ballot on Tuesday, January 14th, that what equates to is essentially the halfway mark of the 2024-25 season, Dustin Wolf is on my ballot, and he is he's third on my ballot, and I will entertain arguments for second. Who I have at number one might surprise you slightly, but for the sake of this conversation, right off the hop, yes, Wolf is on my ballot.
We're 100% in agreement there.
Okay.
I don't think Dustin Wolf cares. This was him Saturday night when Flames Talk fam member Wes Gilbertson asked him about that.
I come to the rink, I try to get better, and I try to do my job and help our team win every night. And if that stuff comes along with it, then it's an added bonus. But right now, our objective is to focus on one night at a time and sneak into the playoffs.
Yeah, so Dustin Wolf doesn't care about Calder Trophy stuff, that's for sure.
No, there's no way you can tell me that he is not going to be doing somersaults when word gets down to St. Louis tonight that I have him on my fictional halfway Calder Trophy ballot. The guy's going to be doing somersaults.
Does he do the windmill celebration, the preseason game?
You know what, he'll probably just reenact, like, at the hotel, his pregame where he does the jump and then he jumps back into the post.
Yeah.
Like, full on, he's going to do that. There's no doubt about it.
He's on my ballot 1,000%. And what I'm having a hard time doing is putting together kind of what my 1, 2, 3 would be right now. So my three on the ballot right now, in no particular order, would be Celebrini, Hutson, and Wolf. Those would be my three, with Michkov number four. So those would be, but they only announced the top three vote getters. So my top three vote getters, my goal in this conversation is to help me get to my top three ranking. But right now, my three would be Lane Hutson of the Canadiens, first overall pick, Macklin Celebrini of the Sharks, and Dustin Wolf of the Flames. Those would be my three. Is that the same
You've
three?
You've never had? Sounded smarter to me in your Woo! Life than this exact moment here.
Who would be number one on your ballot right now?
Lane Hutson.
How come?
Well, let me run you through, Patrick. He leads all rookies in assists and points and average time on ice. He's got 29 assists, 32 points, and is averaging 22.44 a night as a defenseman. He's on pace for the second highest point total by a U21 defenseman since the 04-05 season. We all know what happened then. Only Erik Karlsson in 2011-2012 is higher, and that was Karlsson's third season in the NHL. You have to go back to Brian Leetch in 1988-89 for a rookie defenseman to eclipse the 63 points Lane Hutson is on pace for. So we're talking about a very historic pace that Hutson, the Montreal Canadiens rookie defenseman, is playing at in terms of his ability to generate offense and what he's able to produce for a Montreal Canadiens squad. Hutson, for me, is the number one on my ballot.
I get it, and he's doing incredible things. Celebrini is on pace to be a point-per-game player as an 18-year-old.
On pace for 30.
On pace for 30 goals as an 18-year-old.
Yeah.
And if you take a look at some of the metrics in San Jose when Celebrini is on the ice and when Celebrini is not on the ice, it's like, oh, they're an NHL team when Celebrini's out there, and they're not when he's not. Which is, again, another thing that I think for those who will look at those types of things, that will buoy his case in being a Calder Trophy front runner.
Let me just ask you really quickly, because the Calder Trophy does not care about your age as long as you're younger than 27, 28. As long as you're back in the criteria, it doesn't matter if you're 18 or 23, a rookie is a rookie.
I mean, it has played in before, right?
Well, this is a question I'm going to lead you. Does it lead you to think that Celebrini doing what he's doing at 18 is slightly more impressive than Hutson at age 21? Because Hutson does have, I don't want to say, it's not necessarily even pro experience, but 3 years further in his development.
Human experience, yeah. But you know what? Like, I think 18-year-old forward, 21-year-old D is pretty on par when it comes to development, just the way the curves go. And then you're talking about a 23-year-old goalie. Same thing. I think 23-year-old goalie is pretty comparable to 18-year-old forward. So I think age, like if we were talking about Michael Bunting, like remember when Bunting, all the non-Leafs fans were like, oh, here's Michael Bunting, the Calder
Grandpa
Trophy front runner.
Bunting.
Then they'd have like a picture of an elderly person. You're like, okay, that's pretty funny. And so Bunting, I think, did get hurt because he was like 25 years old when he was having his quote-unquote rookie season. So I don't think in this one of those three guys that age matters.
Okay. It doesn't for me either, okay. But I was just curious to see your thought process behind an 18-year-old forward versus a 21-year-old defenseman versus a 23-year-old goalie.
Here's the thing that I'm most interested in, whether it's on the text line or whether it's in Aaron Vickers' brain.
Oof, let's not go.
How much does being a playoff team count for you? Like, how much does a rookie being on a playoff team or helping a team fight for the playoffs, like, does that make an impact, and or should that make an impact when we have this conversation?
It doesn't, and hear me out as to why. It's not the most valuable rookie. If we're talking about the Hart Trophy and we're in a conversation about player X and player Y, and player X plays for a team that is the second wild card holder and player Y is on a team that doesn't qualify for the playoffs. Well, you're without player Y for that team, you're still not a playoff team. Whereas if you're player X, that team probably doesn't get into the playoffs without him. But when we're talking about a situation where it's just best rookie, not most valuable rookie, I don't care if you're the first place team or the 32nd place team. It's just who was the best rookie, regardless of team outcome, is how I sort of tackle that question, if you will.
Yeah, because it's not the Hart Trophy. And
it's not most valuable rookie. Yeah. To me, there's a very distinct difference between best player versus most valuable player.
Mm-hmm. And yet for me, I can't fully take it out. I have trouble, like a rookie that helps a team and is a crucial part of a team making the playoffs, that has some weight.
Now, I might grade differently if it's a rookie playing on Connor McDavid's line versus Celebrini, who's carrying the load by himself. I might do quality of, you know, team that's around him might adjust slightly for my perception of that player. But the sheer fact that playoff team versus non-playoff team, that part doesn't impact.
The I think it's unfair for me to do this, but I do think Wolf and Hutson being important parts of teams fighting tooth and nail for a playoff spot like the Flames and Canadiens are, I think that that does have some weight compared to Celebrini. But that's, I fully realize that's unfair, and yet here I am saying this enters into my weighting. Celebrini didn't choose who's around him. Celebrini didn't choose his teammates as an 18-year-old. It's not his fault.
There's a reason he was at the Sharks. The Sharks were able to select him number one overall. Exactly. They were not in a great spot in terms of winning.
So I think what I would say to you is Celebrini doesn't get docked for not being in a playoff race, but it might add a little bit to the cases of guys like Hutson and Wolf. How's that? And that still might be unfair.
I will.
And I'm fully copping to it.
I won't rake you over the coals for a take like that or an opinion like that. I can understand certainly where you're coming from. For me, that particular element doesn't necessarily come into play. If anything, it should probably help Celebrini more in my mind, your argument, because there's a lot more support around Hutson in Montreal, or there's a lot more support around Wolf in Calgary, whereas I think we can both collectively agree that Celebrini, for the most part, is on an island a little bit in terms of what he's playing with and what he's dealing with in San Jose. No disrespect to Will Smith, no disrespect to Tyler Toffoli, no disrespect to some of the vets that they have in San Jose, but it is very much the Celebrini show for the Sharks. Whereas, if you want, you can make the argument that it's the Wolf show in Calgary or it's the Hutson show in Montreal. I just think those are weaker arguments.
Fair enough. More I think about it, if it was right now, so you would have Hutson 1, Wolf 2?
I still think I might go Celebrini 2, Wolf 3.
Okay.
And part of that, we'll get back into the conversation a little bit about who is the Flames MVP that we had on Flames Talk on Monday, where am I going to rank Wolf in the grand scheme of things for the Calder in terms of best rookie? And it's not most valuable rookie. It's best rookie if he only finishes with 45 of 82 games played. And I understand the importance, and I won't downplay it whatsoever. He started 23 games. He's got 32 of a possible 46 points. That's a 696 points percentage. You can't do this, but I'm going to say it anyway, and I'm going to regret it later. But that's a 114-point pace over an 82-game schedule. Goalies don't play 82 games. You can't do that. But that's the pace that the Flames are playing at when Dustin Wolf starts. Just the fourth different Flames goaltender to have 15 wins through the first 23 games of a season, joining Dan Bouchard, Mika Kiprusoff, Mike Vernon. Bouchard did it with the Atlanta Flames. So if you even want to go Calgary Flames, he's only the third goalie to do that. I'm not trying to cut Wolf's legs out from underneath him or anything like that, because there's no questioning how valuable he's been to the Flames. I think my mental hiccup in this conversation is, well, he's only going to play 45. Hudson's going to play 80. Celebrini's going to play somewhere around 70 to 72 because he did miss time earlier this season because of injury.
Yeah.
That's sort of the obstacle I would have to get over.
Wolf is at right now? He's at 26. So if he were to play two-thirds of the way.
Are you going to try and do two-thirds math from here on out and then add it together?
Yeah. So if he were to do that, it would be 49 starts.
Okay.
Is what Wolf would have. He'd 26 of 40 is two-thirds. He's got 23 already, so he'd be at 49 starts if he got two-thirds the rest of the way, which I think is not a guarantee, but I think is definitely within the realm of possibility. So as of right now, I would have Celebrini 1 because I'm just so damn impressed by what he's done.
Really? Okay. Yep, I got to start banging the table for Hutson a bit more.
And then it would be close, but I'd probably go 2, Wolf, 3, Hutson. All that being said, if Wolf does start to play a whole lot more in the second half, which so far it does look like that might be the case, and he continues to put up numbers like he has, that might elevate Wolf ahead of Celebrini. You know, Frank Saravalli last hour said it's not out of the realm of possibility that if Wolf continues to keep up this level of play and the workload goes higher and he backstops the Flames into the playoffs, he'd get Vezina votes, like top five Vezina votes. If you're getting Vezina votes as a rookie goaltender, you're getting my one Calder vote. So Right now, I'd be celebrating 1, Wolf 2, Hutson 3, but that is very much up for grabs, and I can easily see a world where my vote, and by the way, neither Vix nor I have votes,
yeah.
So you can't be mad. We will not impact the Calder Trophy race, but if I did have a vote, I could see a world where I would elevate Wolf to 1 between now and the end of the season, a very, very realistic world.
Yeah, and following your logic, I could get on board more with Wolf being a number 1 if he does get closer or north of that 50 games mark. Here's where I struggle, though, because you mentioned and the Flames get in the playoffs and he starts garnering consideration for the Vezina. Like, yeah, if he wills the Calgary Flames into the playoffs, but that kind of is spits in the face of, I don't care if you're on the first place team or the last place team, it's just best pure rookie. I feel like I got to tweak that a little bit and grade slightly on a curve. If the Calgary Flames make the playoffs on the strength of Dustin Wolf and him playing, you know, 65 to 70% of the rest of the remaining starts to help put them into that position, I might have to revisit that ballot. Not going to lie.
Well, and that's why we have 2 hours of Flames talk every day so we can do this again. Text line 960-960. You guys should consider time on ice. I'm sure Wolf would be close, if not more than celebrating in Hutson. Well, goalies play the full game.
So I mean,
that kind of isn't fair. Dustin, I understand the argument that Calder is for the best rookie, not the most valuable rookie, but my counter to that would be look at the Norris. It's for the best D-man by definition, not the highest scoring, but we see that happen all the time. So I think if Wolf stands in his head and gets this team into the playoffs, I'm fairly certain that'll swing votes the same way that goals swing votes for the Norris. I'm not, by the way, we're not having a conversation about what's going to happen because I hate predicting how voters are going to vote. This is just strictly our opinion, but Dustin might be onto something there. Bob says, where do you guys have Michkov? Would he be number 4 for me? Yes. Was he 4 for you?
Yeah, he'd be my number 4, but he's a very clear 4.
Yeah.
There's a very defined to me 1, 2, 3 right now in whichever order you want to place them, and I'll respect and understand each argument for the top 3, but for me, Michkov's a clear 4 now.
Jesse asks, who was the last goalie to win the Calder? That was Steve Mason going back to his first year in the NHL back in 2009. He started 61 games that year, went 33-20-7 with a .916 save percentage. That was Steve Mason's Calder Trophy year, the last goalie.
With the Columbus Blue Jackets, was it not?
With the Columbus Blue Jackets, yep. What else we got here at 960-960? This says, Celebrini already was the best and drafted as such. Wolf makes his team better and helps get to the playoffs potentially, which is the most fun to watch. Definitely Flames fans want to watch Wolf, and Celebrini's awesome to watch. Hutson is breaking positional records. This says, you do realize that outside of Calgary fan base, most people wouldn't put Wolf in the top 3. I think you're wrong. I think that every person outside of this market, when you've taken a look at people who are projecting from the NHL to Frank Saravalli to the Athletic, Sportsnet, everybody has Wolf as one of the top 3 guys, or at the very least in the conversation.
Case in point, January 8th, NHL.com just did a Calder poll, and Dustin Wolf was amongst the top 3.
This says Celebrini can make a mistake that costs his team a game. Doesn't matter. More pressure on Wolf and Hutson. This says without Wolf, the Flames are a bottom feeder. Mike in Calgary, how does Wolf not win the Calder if he has 30 plus wins as a rookie? I could see lots of ways how he doesn't, just based on how voting goes. I mean, there's a case in point. This text here's how this text. You guys need to be more petty and leave Hutson off your ballot altogether as revenge for the Quebec writer who didn't put Iggy on his ballot and cost him the heart. I hate to break it to you, we don't vote, but that is a way that Wolf doesn't win. Like, also, it takes is 3 or 4 Eastern voters like, well, who's that? Who's that goalie with a canine last name? I'm not interested in that. I'm putting, like, all it takes is 1 or 2 votes, right? Or non-ballot votes.
Eye for an eye leaves the whole world blind. Because somebody did something wrong 20-ish years ago doesn't mean we should do something wrong today. This has been your deep thought.
This says, I respectfully disagree when it comes to Wolf being 3rd on anyone's list for the Calder. Both Hutson and Celebrini were first-round picks, and neither have to deal with the mental element of being doubted to make the NHL from the very start due to his size. Despite having all the accolades since the start, he still has to continue to prove himself over and over that he's worthy to be an NHL goalie. Wolf has done that and so much more. Therefore, he should be the MVP of the Flames and the winner of the Calder Trophy. Unfortunately, I don't think I don't think circumstances or feel-good stories or that, I don't think that should play into who wins a trophy.
Well, and you think Lane Hutson hasn't been around about whether or not he can be an NHL defenseman? I wouldn't necessarily suggest it's to quite the extent Dustin Wolf has, but to think that Lane Hutson has had just a smooth path to where he's gotten to with the Montreal Canadiens, I think, is a little short-sighted.
Good stuff on the text line, 960-960, as we are well underway this hour on Flames Talk. He's Aaron Vickers. My name is Pat Steinberg, and hey, do you need a smart and convenient way to clean your clothes and sports equipment? Because Bel Air Cleaners is not just a dry cleaner, it's a community-minded business offering innovative, trusted services that make life easier and healthier. So Bel Air Cleaners offers a wide range of unique and innovative services tailored to make life easier, like pickup and sanitization with SaniSport and delivery service for sports equipment. Dry cleaning of specialty items done right, such as comforters, shoes, hats, and wedding attire, and laundry done at the click of a button, including pickup, wash, dry, neatly folded, and delivery. Look, I use Bel Air. They're the best. And a leaf in his game gang are always going to make sure that you're happy. But it's the sports thing that is truly unique, because if you have, look, if you've got a couple of sons, or you got a, you know, a couple of daughters, son and a daughter, whatever the case may be, they're playing hockey. You know how much that gear reeks, right? Well, how about you take it over to Bel Air? They'll clean it. They'll sanitize it. And you won't have to worry about that. And your garage maybe doesn't have that odor all the time. They're always giving back to the community, too, through partnerships with local charities. Kidsport Calgary, for every equipment cleaning service, $15 goes back to Kidsport. Over at Parachutes for Pets, they accept donations of good condition animal supplies, clean the items at no cost, and ensure they're passed on to pets and families in need. And Day One Dad, their mission is to support dads, moms, and caregivers by offering resources that empower families to thrive. As well, 5% of your total will go back to Day One Dad. So not only are they making your life easier, but they're also giving back to the community. Visit bell-air.ca. Call 403-201-4911 or drop by Bel Air Cleaners to experience their services firsthand.
Talking your team right now. Flames Talk is on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Let's say hello to one of our absolute favorites. Let's say hello to Tori Peterson of CalgaryFlames.com. Piz on with Steinberg and Aaron Vickers. We're talking Flames prospects. We like to do this a number of times a year with Tori. Update how things are going in the system for the Flames. Hi, Piz.
Hi, how are you guys?
I'm good. I'm good. It's happy to have you back. Tori Peterson at CalgaryFlames.com on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Always keeping you abreast over at CalgaryFlames.com on the prospects in the organization, of which there are many, and of which there's a lot going on. Maybe we'll start with the big move in the Ontario Hockey League this week. I guess it was last week, but how about Henry Muse? Not only is he having a heck of a season, but he just got moved for how many different pieces as he went to Sudbury?
That was a massive trade. I remember looking through like the return for Henry Muse. I'm like, my God, this kid just pulled in an absolute fortune for the 67s, but I think it's worth it for Sudbury. And I think right off the hop, they would fully agree. I mean, he has 5 points in two games. His first two games, there you go, multi-point games. Like, no problem at all. Just picked right up where he was in Ottawa. He's been really exciting to watch, and he's coming off an incredible December. He was the OHL's top defenseman last month. So, really big year for Henry Muse. He's leading all OHL defensemen in scoring, and as a Flames fan, like, you couldn't be happier with how his first season in the system has been going, and pretty big move for Sudbury, and I think he's going to play a massive role down the stretch for them.
Yeah, it's funny, like, when the Flames went through that draft, we were all there in Vegas, and you know, they already had Hunter Brustevich in the fold, and he had himself an incredible year in the Ontario League. Then you factor in they draft Zane Parekh, and he was the highest scoring defenseman in the OHL. And then right there is Henry Muse, who is one of the highest scoring defensemen in the NHL. And Muse sure has taken another step when it comes to the offensive side of his game, hey?
Yeah, and I think what you're seeing is just more confidence. The skill set has always been there, but I think his confidence has grown so much since being drafted, and you're seeing that translate on the score sheet. I know I've seen a few social posts from his off-season trainer back in Ontario, saying like he was setting new personal bests last season too in the summer. So he's really put in the work off the ice as well, and that is showing in his play. Like, the confidence is there, and he knows himself well enough and his skill set and what he's capable of, and he's going to flourish, I think, in Sudbury.
So nine pieces. It was a 10-piece trade that saw Henry Muse go from Ottawa to Sudbury, and nine of those pieces went to Ottawa, with the other piece being Muse going to Sudbury. That is a CHL trade. I absolutely love it. How are things going for Zane Parekh, Tori? Like, it feels like he's really starting to find it.
He is. I think there's been ups, there's highs and lows in his season this year for sure. He is still the fourth top scoring defenseman in the OHL. So the Flames have two of the top four highest scoring defensemen in the OHL. So that's really nice to see. But he has really picked up his game as of late. I think, going through mid-December and not being picked up on that Hockey Canada team for the World Juniors, I don't think, and continuing to put up points. So since the calendar turned to 2025, he only is pointless in one game. Most of those are multi-point games. Like, he's just kind of, picked right up where he wanted to be after a couple, like, ups and downs in terms of the scoring in the early parts of the season, the first half. But it looks like he's really found his groove here as we head into mid-January.
Let me ask you about two other guys in the Ontario Hockey League, both from the class of 2024 as well. Luke Misa, Jacob Battaglia, both up over 50 points already. What are we seeing from those two?
I really like Jacob Battaglia's game this year. I've seen quite a bit of it throughout the season. I get kind of like Zane, the calendar turned to 2025 and he's been rolling. He's coming off of a 4-point game on the 12th, so that's not too shabby. It's what you'd like to see from the development from a guy picked where he was picked in the draft. And he, again, like Muse, it looks like there's a lot of confidence in his game. Maybe some he lacked in his draft year a little bit, I'm not sure. But just from, you just see he looks very self-assured with the puck. He looks very sure of his skill set, and he knows when he needs to pass, he knows when he needs to shoot. And you love to see that growth. And also the physical development as well. He's not a small kid by any means, but it looks like he's really gotten comfortable in his body. He's just over 6 feet, 202 pounds. So a bigger kid who's really found his groove physically, which is great to see. Luke Misa, I still can't believe he was in the fifth round, picked in the fifth round, right? Like, I've always thought he's been an incredible player, a smaller guy, more skilled guy. And you're seeing that this year in Brampton. He's been really good. I believe he's just over 20 goals, 21. 21 goals, 52 points. You love to see it. This is a guy that I think has a lot of room to grow, especially as he physically matures. And if you're looking for a guy who's like all speed, that is Luke Misa. This guy can skate. So really exciting to see him play this year.
We are chatting to Tori Peterson, CalgaryFlames.com. We're getting the latest on Calgary's prospects around the different leagues. She's joining us here on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. It's Pat and Vix. Vix?
That kind of covered off the Ontario Hockey League for us. Let's jump out to the queue a little bit and curious your observations, your thoughts on how Matt Vigreeden has settled in with Shawinigan. He's got, in his past 10 games, he's got 4 multi-pointers, only one of those 10 without a point. How is he settling into a new league?
I think he's been exceptional in that league. He's the top scoring rookie in that league and one of the top 10 scorers. But he just looks like he's settled right in there. For fans who didn't know about his game and who've been able to watch him there, I think they've got to be pretty excited to see how he's been doing. This is a guy who can score a ton of goals. I think, just looking here, he has 5 goals in his last 4 games. So he can light the lamp, no problem. I think he's going to be, like, as they go down the rest of the season, he's going to be massive for them. He's just has such a naturally gifted offensive skill set. So he's really fun to watch out there in the queue.
How is Étienne Morin doing in his second year in the organization? What have you seen from him, or what gives you optimism in his game as he continues to progress, well, through his progression?
Yeah, I think like a lot of people have question marks when you're drafting really offensive defensemen about their defensive game, right? That makes sense. Oftentimes, especially at a young age, the defensive side of the game, you might take a few shortcuts to get those points. And watching Etienne this year, his defensive game has been really strong. I've really liked what I've seen from him this year. He's the second highest scoring defenseman in the queue, if I'm correct, but his plus minus is sitting at plus 25, which is great. In comparison, last year, I believe he was a minus 9 or minus 10. Not that plus minus is the be-all, end-all, but it does give you a bit of an idea of how he's doing in his own zone. And I think you're seeing the parts of what Flames development coaches are telling him he needs to work on. He's really put an emphasis on that this year, and you're seeing it now in Moncton this year in terms of his defensive game. I mean, he's still going to put up a ton of points. He's just over a point per game there. So great to see that and not see the offense totally slide as you focus on the defensive side of the game. But yeah, a lot of optimism there with Etienne.
Kind of the reverse in talking about Moran or Muse or even Zane Parekh is Eric Jamieson, who was drafted as sort of that stay-at-home physical steadying presence. But then I kind of scroll through and I see he's got 26 points in 40 games as captain for Everett. Is he showing signs of a little bit more of a two-way game than maybe he did in his draft year, or what are we accounting for that sort of bump in production?
I think so, and also just getting older, he's physically very mature. Like, he's a big kid, right? He's 6'3", over 200 pounds. Like, he's a pretty physically dominant kid in that league in terms of size, and as you grow, you're going to get more points. That's generally what you see, but I think he's been able to also work with these Flames development and skills coaches throughout the summer. Being a Calgary kid, too, he has nice back and forth, obviously. He's been able to refine his game and find more of that two-way play that maybe was like hidden there as he focused on the defensive end and the shutdown end of his game. We know he's really strong in his own end. You know he can shut down plays, but it is nice to see those points come up. I don't think he's ever going to be what you'd ever label as a offensive defenseman.
Right.
But as you get older and you're seeing this production, it's really heartening to see that he has a few other areas of his game that definitely raise his ceiling a little bit in terms of what you're looking for as a pro.
Jaden Lapinski playing his overage season with Vancouver, 31 points in 32 games after starting with the Calgary Wranglers. Should be expected, I think. Is that fair for a 20-year-old that is as physically mature as him?
Absolutely. It's still great to see, like, most of his I think he's points in over 10 games right now. He's on over a 10-game point streak. So he's been really dominant for them offensively, which, like you said, you should expect for an overager who's physically not small, we'll say. He's got a lot of size. He can physically dominate if need be. He's relied upon there a lot in terms of his leadership. This is a guy that you've heard quite often when people talk about what he brings to the table. Character guy is often kind of the cliche, but that's what is said. He's figuring out what works for him. I think for him, when he goes pro full time, a lot of it will be what will make him most effective at the pro level, because he's not the fastest skater. He's not a slow skater, but he's not the fastest skater. So it needs to, for him, this overager year might be really good to figure out how and what will translate best at the pro level. He's had that taste with the Wranglers. He's talked with their coaches. He knows the players there. So this year gives him kind of that leap board for him next year when he turns pro full time.
Torrey Peterson's with us, CalgaryFlames.com. We're getting an update on the Flames prospects. You know, one of the guys that was really interesting from this class of 2024 was Trevor Hoskin. He took a look at his numbers going into college. Now he's playing at Niagara. How are we seeing year one in the NCAA go?
Yeah, so he's a really interesting player in terms of, he was an overager, obviously, when he was, like you said, when he was drafted, but he was absolutely dominant in Coburg, the OGHL, 100 points in 52 games. He scored 42 goals. He was the driver of that team. Like, he was very good, very strong. A lot of our scouts said, like, this guy has so much character. Like, he eats, sleeps, breathes hockey. Like, that's all he wants to do. He's had a unique path. I believe he was cut from his U16 team and then was able to get into the OGHL. So just not the most traditional path. Now that he's at Niagara, he's doing really well. As a freshman, he's just under a point a game, which is really good when you're making that transition from the OGHL to the NCAA. That's really heartening to see. He's got 7 goals on the year, so that's good. He's a really fast skater. I've watched quite a bit of his footage lately. And this is a guy who can skate. This is a guy who is extremely hardworking and dedicated. He's never taking a shift off. It's 110% every single shift. And so he's a really intriguing player to watch. I'm really interested to see how his collegiate career develops.
All right. What over at CalgaryFlames.com, y'all are doing prospects, prospect watch, future watch. Every week you can get updates on prospects. Tell us a little bit more what we can expect over there.
Yeah, it's busy. We're shooting another episode of The Chase right now, actually, as we speak on this road trip. So that should be coming up in short order. I don't have a date off the top of my head, but it will be coming up soon. Another episode of The Chase, which is awesome. Ryan Dietrich has done an amazing job with that. We've got a couple of Wranglers games tonight and tomorrow. So that's going on, and we'll have a farm report following those games, just giving an update on what's happening with the Wranglers. And it's been really busy. Like, we had the Indigenous celebration, so tons of content from that. We have a Lunar New Year celebration coming up at the end of the month, which we are now preparing for. So it's just go, go, go. It's awesome.
And every Monday, Walsey's got the prospect look, right?
Yes, yes. Chris Wall, just a rock star. Always has it every Monday. I published it yesterday, actually. So to think what day it is, it's like flying by the year.
Funny enough, yesterday was Monday, so it would it would match up. Good stuff, Piz. Always appreciate the time. Be well. Hey, we'll talk soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Torrey Peterson, CalgaryFlames.com. As we start to move towards the end of this hour, always like getting a prospects update with Piz. She joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Enjoy hockey and football game day specials at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. Pickup and delivery available at Atlas Pizza, 403-248-3344. As we start to wrap things up this hour, Aaron Vickers is on Twitter at AA Vickers. My name is Pat Steinberg. Cam Hughes, Shan Vergy are outstanding producers this hour as well. This hour has been the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Simplify your life with a security ecosystem. Go to CalgaryLockandSafe.com to request a security audit and get a tailored solution.